Before we open God's word this evening, let's bow to him in prayer. Father in heaven, we come here in this thy house of worship this evening with the sole purpose and desire to look into thy word and to see, dear Father, what thou wouldst have for us. We know that, dear Father, that thy plan for us is perfect, and we pray that thou would help us to trust in thee, that we'd lay all our cares and concerns on thee, dear Father, for we know that thy yoke is easy and thy burden is light, and that thou wilt guide us through this life as thou dost see fit. So be thou with us, dear Father, in this evening. This we do all pray and ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For tonight's reading, let's turn, with God's help, to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter number 10. And let's read the first 18 verses. Gospel of John, chapter 10, the first 18 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus again unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus begins this chapter with the phrase, verily, verily. It's a phrase that's used very often in Scripture, and it's a very important and very weighty phrase. It essentially means, what I'm about to tell you is true, and you should listen. What the people that were listening to him thought, or what we think, doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Whatever Jesus says is true. He has the authority as the Son of God that whatever he says is true. This past Sunday, we read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20. And as Jesus was teaching, it says, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders, and spake unto him, saying, Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? He is the Son of God. He has the authority. And whatever he says, that statement stands because of who he is. That is not true of me. That is not true of any of us. We are but mere human beings. If we say something of ourselves, it will never stand. But Jesus, being the Son of God, has that authority. And so that's what he's saying here is, verily, verily, or truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. That statement is not negotiable. And to give some context as to why he begins with this statement, we have to look to the previous chapter, which we read here in our church a few weeks ago. It's a story of the man who was born blind, and Jesus gave him his sight. And he believed. He believed in the Son of God. And as the man that was given his sight spoke unto the Pharisees, he said, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. This is the statement of the man who was given his sight. They, being the Pharisees, answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They cast him out of the synagogue. Essentially excommunicate him from worshiping with them. And then afterwards, the Pharisees come unto Jesus, and they ask him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. It's a very sad ending to chapter 9 of Jesus condemning the Pharisees for their actions. And that is why he begins here in chapter 10 with a statement about climbing into the sheepfold some other way. There is only one way to the sheepfold. We can look at the sheepfold as being the gathering together of God's people. And Jesus is essentially speaking directly to the Pharisees here. He's saying, you are trying to climb up in my sheepfold by some other way. There is one way into the sheepfold, and that is the way of Jesus Christ. The way of Jesus Christ, we know, is a way of self-denial, a way of sacrifice, a way of erasing of any pride that is within us. The Pharisees tried to do this some other way. They tried to get in with pride. They tried to get in to the sheepfold thinking that they are something, thinking that they understand God's truths. Many times in the scripture, Jesus says, woe be to the scribes and the Pharisees, for they do not enter into the kingdom, neither do they allow others who are their followers to enter in. It is like the parable we read of the blind leading the blind. They both fall into the ditch. There is no truth in their teachings because their teachings were of themselves, out of pride. And so Jesus is saying in this chapter, there is one door. And not only is there one door, he is saying in verse 7, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He is the door by which we must enter. There is only one entrance. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. If we are truly his people, his sheep, the sheep of his pasture, we will know his voice, and we will follow him with gladness. Later on in the chapter, we didn't read it, but in verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So not only do we know him, but he knows us. He knows our needs. He knows our struggles. He knows the very number of hairs that are on our head. And if we are his sheep, we will hear him, and we will follow him. This is such a weighty and important passage of Scripture, this whole chapter, speaking of who Christ is. There's so much truth to it. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This is the life we live if we are a child of his. So not only is he saying here that he is the door, but moving on to later in the chapter, he speaks and says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he is describing here how he is not just an hireling. He is not someone that has simply been paid to watch the sheep, but he is the good shepherd. We know in the well-known psalm that we all know and love, Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Want means lack. If the Lord is our shepherd, there is nothing we will lack. We have everything that we are in need of when he is our shepherd, when he is leading us. In verse 4 of the Of the same psalm it says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So Jesus is the shepherd leading us into his kingdom, into his sheepfold. But his rod and his staff are not frightening to us. There's nothing to be afraid of. He's not using his rod and his staff to strike at us, to show us the way that it must be. But he's gently leading us and prodding us, keeping us away from the devil, keeping us away from all the dangers that are outside the sheepfold. That is the kind of shepherd that he is. And he is inviting us to come be one of his sheep. In the Zion's Harp, there are many songs that we all know and love that speak of Jesus being a shepherd and how good it is to be a lamb of his, to stand in grace with him, the faithful Lord. There is nothing better than that. We do not fully understand, it says in hymn number 16, we do not fully understand what it means to be a lamb of his, but one day with his help, with his grace, we will know. We will be with him for all eternity. That is a day we do long for. We look forward to it more than any other moment, to be with him, to see his face, to see the one who has come to save us from our sins, to save us from this world. In verse 16 of John chapter 10, it says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Again, our minds, I believe, go to another hymn in the Zion's Harp that says there's one true shepherd and one true fold. There is no other way. And speaking of these other sheep that he has that are not of this fold, he's speaking here of us, the Gentiles, who are not of Jewish descent. He came that we also might have life, that we might have a way, a path to salvation. That was not possible in the Old Testament, but is possible now through our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And in verse 17, it says, I laid down my life that I might take it again. We know in another very well-known chapter in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 53, it speaks of Jesus, of course, before his birth, but it speaks of him, and it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. So not only is Jesus the door, not only is he the shepherd, but here he is also the lamb. He laid down his life. Because he is the Son of God, no man could take his life. No man could kill him. He had to give his life because of who he is, his power. He had to lay it down. Someone could kill us very easily, but not so for Jesus. We know when he was arrested and they asked him, saying, art thou Jesus? And he says, I am. And they fell backwards at his power because he is God. That just shows us that no man could take his life, but he willingly laid it down that we might have life everlasting with him. Jesus says many times in the scriptures that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. There are many other religions in this world that tell us that they also believe in a God, and we spend perhaps too much time thinking of atheists, and we can't understand how someone can be an atheist, how someone can believe or not believe that there is a God. But beyond that, it goes much deeper. Not only must we believe that there is a God, we must believe in his Son. There is no other way to God. Muslims even say that they have the same God that we do. They say they claim that they serve the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. But they do not know the Son. It is not possible to know the Son, to know the Father, unless you come through him by the Son. That religion is vain. Thinking that the point must be that atheists are wrong distracts us from his Son. The focus must be on him. It is a much more scary thought to think of those who have heard the gospel call, the message of Jesus Christ, and who have rejected it. It's much more scary to think of that than it is to think of an atheist at times, perhaps. because we know this way. We've known it, most of us, from our youth. We know that this is the one true way. Jesus is not only showing us the way, but he is the way. He is our all in all. He's telling us here in this chapter and in many other portions of Scripture that he is everything. And if he is not our everything, then we have no life. He must be our all in all. We must trust in him, pray to him for help, for strength, for safekeeping, and he will provide. He is faithful to us if we but believe on him. And that is what the Pharisees here in the previous chapter simply did not understand. They did not understand that God's way was a way of self-denial, was a way of not serving self. That's all they did repeatedly in the Scripture was serve themselves, look to do things that were good and pleasing for them, for themselves, their own flesh. But that is not the way of Jesus. He leads us. He leads us into pastures, green, lush, filled with plentiful water. His way is a way of peace, of joy, of contentment. May that always be our goal, our trust, to see him for who he is, our all in all. It is sad to think of those in the Scriptures who were with him, who spoke with him, perhaps even on a daily basis, and yet who still rejected him. But we read in God's Word that there are many who have accepted the call, to servant, to service of him and his kingdom. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? So he's telling us there was a division here. That is what God's word, being his son, God's son is his word. That is what he does. He divides. He makes us separate the things in this life that we love more than him. We must cut those off. There, to our friends here who do not yet know the Lord, there is something that you know and that God knows that is holding you back. It's holding you back from serving him. And whether you realize it or not, you love those things or thing, whatever it may be, you love that more than Jesus. To say so and to hear it might be harsh, but it's true. We read it in God's word that if we love anything more than him, we have no life. He who has the Son, we read, has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. We live in condemnation, awaiting condemnation, if we do not believe in his Son. The Father has glorified his Son repeatedly, and he will do it again. It is up to us to remain true and faithful unto him. They would heed the call to live for this door, this shepherd, this lamb, and this way. He is our everything. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 reads, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is our belief. This is our trust. That he is not only the good shepherd, he is that great shepherd of the sheep. No one is superior to him and his teachings. No other teachings of this world can be as true, as powerful as his. Because again, the teachings of this world do not have the authority that he does. Being God's son, proceeding eternally from the Father, he has the authority, and he is inviting us to be with him forever. May God help us so that daily we would continually walk in his footsteps and seek how we may please him better. He knows where we stumble. He knows where we fall, but he is there to pick us up because he is a shepherd that loves us and cares for us dearly. We read that he will leave the 99 sheep who need not salvation. He will go after that one that needs saved. That is us when we betray him, when we stumble, when we think a selfish thought. We are as the one sheep that goes astray, but he comes for us. He will not leave us. He will never break our covenant with us. But sadly, we ourselves can break the covenant when we live for self, when we ignore his teachings, and when the ways of this world sadly mean more to us than the ways of Jesus Christ. We need help. We need strength daily, but he is there for us to pick us up, to gently lead us into his sheepfold again, to be restored. Let us never seek some other way into the sheepfold. Never let us seek some other path that is perhaps easier. For we read in God's word that the way to destruction and death is broad. It's very wide. It's easy to walk on. But the way to life everlasting with him is a straight and a narrow path. We must be careful because the world has many perils that seek to make us stumble and fall. The devil loves nothing more than to see us stray off that path, the path that leads to his sheepfold, that leads to the shepherd himself, the lamb, the shepherd, the door. May we put our trust in him so that daily we would draw closer unto him, seek his ways, seek his will, and be with him with his grace forever. May God bless his word in our hearts this evening. Amen.
So thankful that we came into God's house this evening and we heard he who is the truth, the way and the life, he who has brought forth the message of the Father and spoke truth, and that whatever he spoke, that was truth and gospel. But not so with men. Jesus said here, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Who came before Jesus? Was it not the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees? If we look in the Old Testament, the Pharisees, there is no mention of Pharisees or of Sadducees. They were a group of people that came during that 400 years of silence, and they were those that studied the law, and then they wanted to add some meat or some doctrine to some of that law that Moses gave. And so as they did that, they started putting more laws, and they said, well, on the Sabbath day, you should only go this distance. And when you, the Bible says that we should be clean, so that means that we should wash our pots and our hands and these types of things. And they did these things and so much more, but they were thieves and they were robbers. They missed what God had intended. And so when Jesus came along, he brought to them the truth and he showed compassion. And he showed love to so many, and they understood his message and they received his message and they were joyful for his message. And they knew that his message was that they could have life and that they could have it more abundantly in Jesus Christ. That he would give to them compassion, that he would give to them mercy, and they could come to know him, and that they could worship him in truth, and know that his words have power, and they have true authority. And so we've come to know Jesus Christ as he who has power and true authority. Let us never be deceived by what another man would say, but let us always look to Jesus Christ, who comes and he gives us life, and he gives us that more abundantly in this life and in the life to come. We know that we are in the palm of the Father. We read that here in this gospel, and that no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. We have that comfort, we have that truth. And so we rejoice in that, and we give honor, glory and honor to him. And then we know that we are his sheep, and that no man can take us out of his sheepfold. And we rejoice in that. And that gives us comfort. And that gives us solace. And so let's always remember that we look to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, he who has power, he who has authority. Men may come along, and they might say some really interesting things that might want to build up a religious system. Let's look to Jesus Christ. Let's look to Jesus Christ. He's the one that provides comfort, solace. He has power. He has authority, and he gives life and that abundantly. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.